giving him an orange, and Maria gave him a coin. Wasn't that nice? And so, it was so nice that Joseph was so happy that he made bags for things for the next five people he met. And one of those was Sarah, whose bags had broken and her things had fallen all over. So there's Sarah with her new bag. It's hard to keep track of all these people. Okay, so Sarah went out to make five more people happy. And one of those was this lady in the blue dress named Sophia. And Sophia was sad. And so Sarah said, "What beautiful eyes you have. They matched your pretty blue dress." And that made Sarah so happy. Sophia, help. Sophia so happy that she called five more people to make them happy too. I'll get it right yet. One of those was her son Tom, who's a doctor, and he was having a bad day. So he was so happy that he got a call from his mother that he bought balloons for five young patients. And one of those five was Peter. There's Peter over on the left. And Peter went home that very day in his wheelchair. But he saw Eric, who had dropped his oranges. See that bag of oranges down there? He dropped his oranges. And Peter came zooming up in his wheelchair and helped Eric pick up the oranges. And Eric was so happy that he helped five other people. And one of those five was his sister, Di. I bet Di stands for Diane, don't you suppose? Di didn't have many friends, and she was pretty shy. So Eric invited her to the park to learn how to ride his skateboard. That was nice. And Di was so happy that she decided to be a friend to five other people. And one of those five was Louise, a homeless woman. And Di and her brother bought Louise a hot dog and a drink. There's Louise sitting up there under the tree. And Louise decided to give five things to five other people, except Louise didn't have anything to give. But you know, one of those five was Mr. Taylor, who lost his wallet, and Louise found it, and she gave it back, even though she didn't have any money. So he offered Louise a job in his store, and he decided to do something nice for five more people. And one of those five was Kate, who was just visiting and wanted to see a really good show, but the show was all sold out. So Mr. Taylor gave her his tickets and said he could go another time. Kate was so excited, she decided to buy five presents for people back home. And one of those five presents was her niece. Who is that? Ordinary Mary, whose eyes lit up when she saw that shiny gold locket. Now, Ordinary Mary's good deed of one bowl of blueberries had sent love to lots and lots of people. When five went to five, and that five went to five more, and, well, you kind of know how that goes. And back up a little bit, one page, and I want to turn to the numbers. Where's the numbers? They're in between somewhere. Oh, there we go. There. Look, there's one person up at the top, and that's Ordinary Mary. And by the time she got down to the bottom, some people must have gotten gifts two times, because I think that's more people that live on our planet. And I'm not going to take time this morning to figure it out, but if you guys want to come up and look at the book afterwards, you can. Okay? So that's the story of Ordinary Mary, and why don't you help me start the song that you sing? Lots of people. Okay, here we go. You want to help me with the song when you go back down? Here we go.
Shalom, Haverim, shalom.
Thank you, Malia.
Shalom, 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 shalom. My friend, farewell, dear friend.
Did we do Doris and Concerns? How quickly we forget. Today's program is about one particular struggle for a specific civil right. Women's suffrage in, yes. Oh, we'll just have to close the window because we're using that for something else. Okay. Somebody want to help me with this while I go ahead? Okay. If it continues to bother, I'll move over to the other side, okay? Is that better for everybody? Got it? All right. Today's program is about one particular struggle for a specific civil right, women's suffrage in the Wyoming Territory. And behind the historical facts of that struggle are valiant, yet, like our story, ordinary people. And it's my hope today that we can cloak ourselves in their determination and persistence at a time when our own civil rights are sorely threatened. My father was an authority on Wyoming's South Pass area, and my mother greatly admired Esther Morris, who was our country's first woman justice. She settled in South Pass City. I grew up in Wyoming, in the same county where Esther Morris was commissioned. And my paternal ancestor lived not far from Spencer, New York, where Esther Morris was born. I have heard so much about Wyoming suffrage heroes that I kind of feel surrounded by their spirits. So don't be startled if they appear among you today. We have a substitute spirit today. Rose Smith is taking Rachel Siegfried's place this morning. Near Spencer, New York, during the height of the anti-slavery movement, a Baptist church in Owego, and it's Owego, not Oswego, it's Owego, hosted an abolition meeting. It stirred the anger of a slavery proponent and the righteousness of a 6-foot-tall 19-year-old abolitionist.
If these anti-slavery women don't leave, I will tear down this church.
This church belongs to the Baptist people. And no one has the right to destroy it. If it is proposed to destroy it, I will stay here and see who does it. My name is Esther McQuigg, and I'm not afraid to stand up for what I think is right.
Is this picking her?
I was orphaned and on my own by the age of 11. I apprenticed to a seamstress, learned to make hats, and earned my own keep until I was 27.
That's when she married my dad. I'm Edward Archibald Black. Call me Archie. Dad died the year I was born. Mom had a hard time getting title to his land in Illinois because she was a woman. Maybe that's why she became such a fighter for women's rights.
I supported Archie by myself for 3 years, then married John Morris, who provided us a good home in Illinois. Our twins, Robert and Edward, were born when Archie was 9. I didn't have time for anything but taking care of children and the house.
Through New York contacts, Esther Morris must have known about the 1848 Women's Rights Declaration in Seneca Falls. She may also have heard of two supporting New York Unitarian ministers.
I'm Samuel J. May, minister of Syracuse. In 1846, I became one of the first ministers to address the congregation on the rights and conditions of women. We may no more assume to govern women than they assume to govern us. And never will the nations of the earth be well represented until both sexes are fairly represented.
I served the Unitarian Church in Rochester from 1852 through 1854. I'm William Ellery Channett, and a strong advocate for women's rights. Suffragist Susan B. Anthony attended our church most of her life.
All right. I have to tell you about the posters. Nearly all of them are, with the exception of one, who is, there's one that's a cowboy, that's Pauline Revere, And Pauline Revere is coming from the West with there it is back there, with the information about women, telling people about that suffrage has been passed. That's the only one we have that was done by a man. All of the rest are out of a movement that occurred a little later than this story, but as part of the very early women's rights movement, and these were the first women cartoonists and illustrators. So the rest were done by women. After Esther Morris moved to Illinois, she may have missed the women's rights activity. I think this was already in the script. But she did focus her time on her children.
My mother's move to Illinois was particularly good for me. I was apprenticed to a printer when I was only 15 and eventually went on to college. Someday I hope to own my own newspaper.
I'm Robert Morris, one of the twins. Things didn't go so well for the rest of us. By 1860, our father had lost his business, his property, and all his money.
I told the boys not to worry because I had several $1,000s worth of my own property.
Dad and I are going out west to the railroad. On the railroad, we read in the papers they discovered gold in Wyoming. Maybe we will find jobs, and maybe even some gold.
I wish Edward and I could go, too. We're 17. We could find work.
We'll move there next year if John and Archie are successful.
That vignette covered about 50 years. Now we're going to just slow down considerably. Gold was discovered near South Pass City, Wyoming in 1867. In the next 3 years, Wyoming Territory was created. East and West railroads linked up, encouraging thousands of people to leave or pour into Wyoming. And Wyoming passed the Women's Suffrage Bill. What massive changes for an area that is still the least populated in our nation. A major mineral discovery, a new form of government, railroad access to both coasts, a very, very transient population, and the male political world turned upside down by women's rights. Most Wyoming newcomers came from eastern states, ranging from Ohio to Connecticut. Had they come from the South, women's rights might well have taken a very different turn. To reach the high South Pass country near the gold mines, speculators, entrepreneurs, suppliers, and mine workers got off at railroad stops and jolted as far as 70 miles in stagecoaches or on pack mules. I've been on those roads many times before they were paved years ago. I can't imagine what that was like. When I was a child in Wyoming, In 2 years, South Pass City grew from an encampment at Willow Creek to a town of 1,000 or more. 2 year period of time, there were about 3,000 people in the area, served by at least 7 saloons, 3 breweries, and a wholesale liquor dealer. By the third year after the gold discovery, only 3 years, extractable gold was depleted and South Pass dwindled to 450 people. By the fifth year, most of the historical figures you will hear about today were gone, many back to their homes in the East.
John and Archie went to South Pass City in 1868. The twins and I joined them the following year. 2 months later, Republican Governor John Campbell called for our territory's first elections. Captain Herman Nickerson and Colonel William Bright were both running for office. Colonel Bright's wife, Julia, became my good friend.
I'm Captain Nickerson. I was the only person to write down what happened in South Pass City before the election. Too bad I waited 50 years until after the election. Historians don't accept my record because of my age and the time gap. I'm going to tell you my version anyway. To Mrs. Esther Morris is due the credit and honor of advocating and originating women's suffrage in the United States. A few days before the election, Mrs. Morris gave a tea party at her residence. While sitting at the table, Mrs. Morris arose and stated the object of the meeting.
There are present 2 opposing candidates for the first legislature of our new territory, one of which is sure to be elected. We desire here and now to receive from them a public pledge that whichever one is elected will introduce and work for the passage of an act conferring upon the women in our new territory the right of suffrage.
Of course, we both pledged ourselves and requested and received the applause of all present.
While some sort of tea party may very well have taken place, saloons were the more likely sites of political wheeling and dealing.
When Julie and I came to South Pass, I set up a saloon in a tent. I wonder if everybody was drunk all the time. Called it the Bon Ton. Julia Morris had a billiard parlor down the road. On election day, we saw folks we'd never seen before. Some outlaws got so drunk and crazy, I thought they'd tear up the town. Might be better around here if there were more people around here like by Julia.
Although there were 6 adult men to every adult woman in Wyoming at the time, election drunkenness and violence was more likely due to the caliber of male fortune seekers who came to the territory than the absence of women.
Not sure I'm doing very well right now. Introducing this suffrage bill wasn't easy. Some pretty ugly folks were opposed to it. But I did it because my wife and my mother have as much right to vote as the black men who received franchise after the war between the states.
Bright would have known about the black miners, the 7 black miners, who had to be escorted by a U.S. Marshal to Major Baldwin's store to vote. The gang of white men carrying pine sticks might have killed them all. Who knows how such people would react to women's suffrage? According to Esther Morris's son, Robert, he and his mother, Esther, were the only known suffragists in South Pass City. Robert, Colonel Bright, a couple of judges, and Wyoming Secretary Edward Lee, and also Captain Nickerson, were among the territory's few male proponents of suffrage. Is Edward Lee in there?
I am, Edward Lee. When I resided in Connecticut, I introduced a suffrage bill, but it failed. After I got to Wyoming and became its first secretary, I reintroduced it and persuaded William Bright to actually introduce it. My pro-suffrage editorials appeared in a Cheyenne newspaper. An unpleasant Laramie journalist kept trying to undermine me.
Gentlemen, I write for the Laramie Boomerang. Name's Bill Nye. Gentlemen, this is a pretty important move. It's a kind of a wild train on a single track, and we've got to keep our eye peeled or we'll get into the ditch. It's a new conductor making his first run. I said it's a new conductor making his first run. Female suffrage changes the management of the whole line and may put the entire outfit in the hands of the receiver in 2 years. We can't tell when Wyoming territory may be sidetracked with a lot of giddy female conductors and superintendents and a posse of giddy girls at the brace.
Bill Nye, the Territory Council passed the suffrage bill without discussion, but members of the House got ugly.
Gentlemen, I'm Ben Sheeks, a lawyer from South Pass City. I offer an amendment to postpone this bill indefinitely. If that fails, I propose we change the word ladies to colored women and squaws.
Sheeks, a bachelor, did indeed propose the amendment and the offensive wording change. The bill passed the House reportedly in a joking manner. Republican Governor John Campbell, a bachelor, pondered it for 4 days. Secretary Lee lobbied him. Finally, Cheyenne suffragist Amelia Post, I lost my place looking at the line. Okay, finally Cheyenne suffragist Amelia Post and her colleagues marched into his living room.
My husband says women have no rights, but I want this bill passed, and we are going to stay here in your living room until you sign it.
On December 10th, 1869, 51 years before national suffrage, Governor John Campbell signed Wyoming's suffrage bill into law.
All right.
That every woman of the age of 21 residing in this territory may at every election, to be holden under the laws thereof, cast her vote, and her rights to the elective franchise to hold office shall be the same under the election laws of the territory as those of the electors.
Seventeen days later, Robert Morris sent a letter to the Revolution, a women's rights paper founded in Boston the previous year by Susan B. Anthony and others.
I told of congratulating William Bright for introducing the suffrage bill. My rendition of Bright's response was read around the country.
I have never thought much about it, but I never heard women speak from the rostrum and never read the Revolution. I knew that it was a new issue and a live one, and with a strong feeling that it was a just, I determined to use all my influence and my power to have the bill passed.
It is a fact that all great reforms take place not where they are needed, but in places where opposition is weakest. And then they will spread until they take up all in one great principle of right and become universal. Just so it will be with women's suffrage. Wyoming has been first to lead the way, and there is probably no state in the Union where women have more freedom and are less deprived of their rights. And certainly there is no territory where there are as few. And I join Horace Greeley in urging the girls to come to this higher plane of human rights, as well as to have a home in our high, clear mountain atmosphere.
Robert Morris's very important media outlet that was just founded the year before and was there to spread the word of suffrage, which gave a lot of encouragement to the suffrage movement back east, folded the next year for lack of funds. After the suffrage vote in Wyoming, Susan B. Anthony encouraged women to move to Wyoming. She may have had second thoughts because a couple years later, she ended up snowbound for almost a week on a train in Wyoming. The Wyoming territory exploded when word spread that women were eligible for juries. A Cheyenne journalist had this to say.
It will be almost a miracle if some of the delicate women who are going through this painful ordeal do not sink under the weight of their privations and return to their homes with shattered nerves and ruined health.
I shouldn't laugh so hard into this microphone. Women's eligibility for public office was also a sore point. In South Pass City, County Commissioner Nathaniel Daniels and his colleagues received a very angry missive.
We had a county justice of the peace by the name of John Stillman who kept his office in South Pass City. He got so mad about suffrage, he sent us his resignation letter quote, effective, quote, whenever some lady elector shall be duly appointed to fill the vacancy.
Ooh.
Commissioner Daniels and several other people encouraged me to apply. I did, and the commission appointed me to the position. Acting Governor Edward Lee issued my commission. Governor Campbell was off getting married. It's too bad Justice Stillman wouldn't relinquish the dockets. He ended up in my court. But we resolved the issue peacefully. I so wish to elevate women, but not at the degradation of men.
Who said that?
Mrs. Morris served us well. She is a true woman rights advocate who came as nigh as being a duplicate of Mrs. Susan B. Anthony as any woman I ever knew.
Here, here, here.
Eliza Swan.
You're not there yet.
Here, here.
Lawyer and anti-suffrage legislator Ben Sheeks, who may have represented ex-Judge Stillman in Mrs. Morris's court, did not share Commissioner Daniels' accolades.
Now, Mrs. Morris was too mannish, if you'll excuse the expression, to suit me or to influence Bright. Now, Mrs. Bright was a very womanly suffragist. I still believe it was through her influence that the suffrage bill was introduced. I suppose at the time she was the author of the bill. Possibly it was only that she seemed intellectually and in education superior to Mr. Bright.
The year Esther Morris became judge, a woman rights convention was held in Rochester, in the Rochester, New York Unitarian Church. Susan B. Anthony wrote, "The Unitarian Church was open to us. I don't suppose another church in the city would have been."
Here, here.
In that same banner year, 1870, around 1,000 Wyoming women went to the polls. 70-year-old Eliza Swain was the first territory woman to cast a ballot. You'll notice that this ballot has a bright color. I don't know what color they were, but ballots were not secret. And everybody knew by the color of the ballot you cast what your party was. So people knew how the women voted. Partly due to the women's vote, a minority of Republicans were elected to Wyoming's second legislature, including Captain Nickerson, defeated the year before. Where's Nickerson? Yay! This infuriated some Democrats, including Ben Sheeks, our lawyer from South Pass City, who is now Speaker of the House. Suffrage was in trouble. A Democrat-supported bill to repeal suffrage passed both houses. So both houses voted to repeal against Republican opposition. So the Republicans were on the side of the women. Governor Campbell was offered $2,000 to sign the repeal bill.
The women of Wyoming are watching you. I will lobby and lobby and lobby until our rights are assured.
If this legislature takes from the women their franchises or privileges, what is to prevent a future legislature from depriving men or classes of men whom from any consideration they desire to disenfranchise of the same right.
All right. With those words, the now married governor vetoed the bill to repeal. Suffrage was still in danger. The House overrode the veto. Concerned women across Wyoming and across the nation awaited the council's decision. All eyes were on John Bossier, the last council member to vote. His yes vote would kill suffrage in Wyoming. Bossier's livelihood came from liquor sales at his Atlantic City billiard hall. He feared that pro-temperance women in the suffrage movement would harm his business. A yes vote could save his income.
I'm John Bossier, and I unhesitatingly say no.
Suffrage survived, but women's rights were still under attack. The following year, Wyoming judges concluded that jury duty was not an adjunct to suffrage. Wyoming women were not routinely appointed to jury duty until after it was mandated by the state's Woman Jury Act of 1949. In 1871, the same year they stopped having jury duty, that issue might have been secondary for Esther Morris because her family life was becoming difficult. That year she divorced her husband, John, who had become increasingly abusive.
I eventually joined Archie in Cheyenne, where he became publisher of the West's leading newspaper.
It was an exciting time to be a journalist in Wyoming when they applied for statehood. The suffrage issue, though, was really hard.
At the urging of men lobbying in Wyoming, in Washington, for statehood, Wyoming women offered to relinquish voting rights.
We're closer to the microphone.
It was pro-suffrage legislators who proclaimed, "We may stay out of the union for 100 years, but we will come in with our women."
All right.
In 1890, Wyoming was admitted to the United States of America with women's suffrage. 30 years later, women in the rest of the country finally won the vote. Suffrage took time, courage, and persistence. Even Ben Sheeks finally accepted equality for women.
That ends the portion of our little drama here. I have to tell you, I didn't know until this morning how it was going to come off. This is totally unrehearsed. Thanks, Guy. On the back of your order of service is a map distributed by the Pennsylvania Women's Suffrage Association sometime after 1914. As you can see, as with other civil rights, suffrage was a long, long struggle. It had many reversals, and it's still under threat. Even a former presidential contender, Patrick Buchanan, said he believed that women have neither the stamina nor the biblical authority to participate in government or business. Right. The Wyoming county, where the 7 South Pass miners were threatened by thugs, is now the headquarters of a white supremacist group. The Wyoming newspaper exposing that group is among the threatened breed of family-owned media. And we all know what other threats are going on today in terms of civil rights. So I'm asking you to cloak yourself in Esther Morris's shawl and William Bright's big hat and muster your own courage to keep our rights that our forebears have so dearly earned. And while I don't know a whole lot more about the history of Wyoming, if you have questions, I'll try to field them. Yes. Pardon? My mother actually, at the time the Equal Rights, no, they did not ratify it, but at the time it was introduced, my mother actually hogtied a legislature, gave him the wording, and walked over to the telephone with him, and he introduced it. So, yeah, it was introduced, but I don't think ever ratified. You had a question, Rick?
When did Wyoming become a state? Now, did suffrage keep them from becoming a state?
No. No, that was the statement that also that Robert Morris made, that we will go in with our, we won't go in without our women.
And so when was Ava?
1890. Yeah, 1890. 1920 was women's suffrage, was national, was when all states had suffrage, federal women's suffrage. Are there any other questions, comments? Yes.
Kind of curious comment. I'm no historian, but when I was in law school, I worked at the State Historical Society, and I got to go through a whole lot of voting papers. They were mostly from the southwestern part of the state, and they included the list that they make as people come in and sign their names. At least that's what they used to have to do. Now someone checks you off on a printed sheet, but you used to have to sign your name and ink. And I noticed. First I noticed the date, and then I noticed that page after page from, you know, area after area, township after township, had Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so,
yes.
Mrs. So-and-so. And I was a little puzzled because I went and checked, and Wisconsin did not have to vote for women.
Oh.
And we had someone there. We were very lucky to have a PhD scholar who was on a project, and I said, Michael, what's this mean? And he said, that's an interesting anomaly, and it happened more than one place. It has to do with the fact that men and women in the less developed areas, that is, in the frontier, were working on farms together, and they were very equal in other ways. And so, particularly in school board issues, men and women participated equally and often had the vote in their local area long before they had it as a matter of state right or national right.
Yes.
And it never crossed my mind that this could be done or that this was the case, but I saw it.
I have to make an interesting comment about New Jersey. Women voted, a few women voted in New Jersey before the Wyoming Suffrage Act because no one had specified gender in the rules about voting. And so they just went ahead and voted, I think maybe once, until someone realized what was going on, and then that was stopped. So we can't say that Eliza was the very first woman in the country to vote. Certainly, the first in a territory election, but not in a state election. So, yes.
You know, when and why Democrats
I don't know. Civil rights. Okay. There is another interesting story, since we have just a little time. I was going to leave this out, but it's kind of fascinating. There is a statue of Esther Morris in Statuary Hall in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol. I've seen it. It's very, very lovely and very tall. It was proposed by women in the state of Wyoming, and I think Wyoming came up for the money for it, based clearly on her being the first woman judge, also based on the Tea Party. And so Esther Morris and Chief Washakie are in Statuary Hall. States are only allowed two, so we kind of left out the white guys in the Statuary Hall. And there are many, many men who are worthy of, Wyoming men who certainly would have been worthy of statues in Statuary Hall. A historian who's a friend of our family, by the name of Larson, he's pretty ticked off about that. And because he knew that his previous historian, Grace Hebert, who bought the Tea Party story and put it in their books, and so did my dad, And they can't document it. So it may or may not have happened. Yes, Robin.
I guess what struck me is that they fought for this and then had to do it over again and over
yes.
again. Which I think is true of a lot of issues, that you think, oh, this is done, and then it was going to be repealed, and
sure.
they had a jury issue. So I guess that might be inspiring for us in some ways to think that that's the way it is. Keep on going.
You never quit. We think we have treasures in this country that have been protected. Well, the Red Desert in Wyoming with its sand dunes is now under threat of development. I mean, you know, it just goes, it never quits. It never quits. Theme of the morning. Thank you, Rachel. Theme of the morning. Yes. Dorothy.
I had never known how the word suffrage came to be, what the origin of the word is.
I haven't a clue. Does anybody else know?
To suffer used to be to allow or permit, how it means to vote.
Okay, she's saying the suffer meaning to allow
to suffer the little
children to be. Anybody else? Okay, Susan?
Okay.
As the basket is passed for donations and pledge payments, we invite guests and visitors who wish to introduce themselves. All right. Hello. Visiting us. Our services here vary depending on the talents and interests of our members. Please come again to explore other views of the principles on which we pattern our lives. And join us for coffee and conversation after the service. We will now have a brief prairie announcement.
I ran down to the office. Suffrage, the right of privilege of voting, franchise, the act for prostitute voting, three, the vote in support of political candidates, four, approbation, assent, additional actions, suffragium, the voting power.
Any other announcements? Nancy?
Thank you.
Before we read together the closing words, let us sing hymn 124, Be That Guide. Together, the closing words from the UU Principles and Prairie Bond of Union. They're at the bottom of your program.
We affirm